welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast, brought to you today by the Bradley Foundation and Made in Cookware. A couple of sponsors today, happy about that. We want to get right into it right now, though. What we want to talk about to begin with is this so-called bipartisan infrastructure deal that President Biden announced with great fanfare at the White House on Thursday, and almost immediately turned out to be, what do you want to call it, a bit of a scam. I want to start out with something that Biden said earlier in the day. You know, he talked to the press twice on Thursday. Once earlier in the day when he came out with a group of 11 senators, Republicans and Democrats, that he'd been meeting with, and he announces, we've got a deal. And so he talks a little bit, and then he has a formal news conference later in the day to discuss it at greater length. So, yeah, I want to start out with something he said at that earlier press conference. Toward the end of it, he talked about when they're doing negotiations like that, Republicans and Democrats, honesty is like the most important thing. So let's listen to what President Biden said.
You know, a lot of us go back a long way where we're used to doing one thing, give each other our word, and that's the end. Nobody questions it. They have my word, I'll stick with what they propose, and they've given me their word as well. So where I come from, that's good enough for me.
That's good enough for me. Okay, that's what President Biden said. Now, within 2 hours, he was moving the goalposts, changing the deal, really, really angry with Republicans by changing everything that they thought they understood about the deal. 2 hours after talking about how important it was to keep your word. Okay, so let's go back and start at the beginning on this. When he comes out after the meeting earlier in the day, he announces very dramatically, we have a deal. Now, there had been 21 Republican and Democratic senators who had been negotiating a lot to try to come up with an infrastructure deal. And he had 11 of them there at the White House that day. Now, they had come up with this proposal. It's not a bill yet. It's not written in legislative language. It's not that far along. But they'd come up with this proposal to spend $579 billion. Now, this is going to be $579 billion on traditional infrastructure projects, which is things that you and I would understand to be infrastructure, roads, bridges, trains, waterways, broadband, the things that Republicans favor and the things that the public understands as infrastructure. Now, if you listen to Biden introduce this, he talked about a lot of these subjects, roads, bridges, trains, waterways, etc., in environmental terms, how this or that would be good for the environment. So he did give it an emphasis on environmentalism and climate change that Democrats wanted. But this was the real infrastructure bill that a lot of the progressive Democrats really didn't want, because they wanted to spend all this money, but they wanted to spend a huge amount of additional money on what they sometimes call human infrastructure. That is, hundreds of billions of dollars on child care, on home health care, all sorts of other things that they tried to redefine as infrastructure. So anyway, the idea was to pull out the real infrastructure stuff that Republicans might approve of and create a bill there that they might get bipartisan support on, and then, you know, go back and see what else they can pass out of this Democratic wish list. So it's this big moment. Biden has this big moment. He comes out, we have a deal. I mean, for a moment there, it looks as if he somehow cracked the code of how to pass big bipartisan legislation in this terribly divided atmosphere of Washington. But he throws it all away. I mean, just hours later, in the second news conference, he comes out and says that even if Congress passes this bipartisan bill that he was touting just 2 hours earlier, even if Congress passes it, he would refuse to sign it unless Congress also passes the partisan spending measure, the Democratic spending measure, the one they call human infrastructure, that Republicans opposed, unanimously oppose. Okay, so for that bill to pass, Democrats would have to muster all 50 of their votes. Remember, they did not win a majority of seats in the U.S. Senate. I think I've mentioned that in every single podcast. They did not win a majority of seats in the U.S. Senate. So they have 50, and they have to get all their 50. All 50 Republicans are going to be opposed. And then they have to get the Vice President, Kamala Harris, to break the tie. Now, so Biden comes out and says both of those bills have to come to his desk at the same time for him to sign it. So if Congress just passes this bill he's been praising all day, he'll refuse to sign it. So they have to come, quote, promptly and in tandem, Biden explained. Let me emphasize that, in tandem. That's quoting the president there. Let me emphasize that, in tandem. So then he's asked, well, you know, what if that doesn't happen? And he says, if they don't come, I'm not signing. Real simple. So in other words, this bill that he's been working on and touting, and these 21 senators have been working very hard on, you know, forget it. If I don't get what I want on human infrastructure and all that other spending, you can forget that. We're throwing it out the window. Now, the thing is, this was news to Republicans. I mean, you're hearing some people say, well, of course, Biden knew this all along, and Republicans knew this all along, but they did not know this all along. When they heard Biden threaten to veto, refuse to sign the bill that they'd all been working on, they were stunned. I mean, the president had been talking about bipartisanship, leading Republicans to think that he might work with them. And then he comes out and he agrees with this plan by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, which is to if the Senate passes this bipartisan infrastructure bill, to hold on to it in the House, not pass it until the Senate also passes the big spending bill, and they would pass it through the process of reconciliation. So they wouldn't have to break a filibuster on it. They wouldn't have to meet the 60-vote standard. They just do it with 50 votes. So Republicans are hearing, most of them, even the ones who have been closely involved in this, they're hearing for the first time the president threatened to throw their bill out the window if he doesn't also get the Democratic human infrastructure bill. So amazingly enough, Republicans get a little mad about this. So Mitch McConnell says that Biden and Pelosi and Schumer, quote, literally pulled the rug out from under their bipartisan negotiators. True. McConnell said it was a tale of two press conferences, endorsed the agreement in one breath, and then threatened to veto it in the next. That's exactly what Biden did. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, as he often is, was one of the bipartisan group, 21 negotiators. He said he didn't know anything about the plan was to spike the football and then move the goalpost. So I'm sure Graham was not surprised by the spiking of the football, but he was surprised by the moving of the goalpost. And he told Politico Playbook that if Biden is going to tie the two bills together, quote, he can forget it. I'm not doing that. That's extortion. I'm not going to do that. The Dems, this is Lindsey Graham talking, the Dems are being told you can't get your bipartisan work product passed unless you sign on to what the left wants, and I'm not playing that game. Now, Graham said that most Republican senators, and even some who are inside the bipartisan group, did not know this Biden and Pelosi and Schumer plan. Most Republicans could not have known that, Graham said. There's no way. You look like an effing idiot now. I don't mind bipartisanship, but I'm not going to do a suicide mission. Now, in the 24 hours after Graham spoke, a lot of other Republicans who were part of this deal came out and said the same thing. They're angry. They think they've been used. So for this very brief moment between the two press conferences, on Thursday, it appeared that Biden had adopted a very old and very successful practice of Bill Clinton's back from the 1990s called triangulation. If you're old enough, you may remember triangulation. Clinton would bypass the fringes of both parties in order to reach an agreement with the middle on a type of spending that is generally popular with many Americans, which is roads and bridges and airports and things like that, real infrastructure. So for a while, it looked like maybe Biden had figured that out. He'd done that. He'd found the secret sauce. He cracked the code, whatever you want to say. But it soon became clear that it was just a ruse for Biden to lay claim to bipartisanship while keeping the progressive wing of his party happy. So I want to go back to the way we started here, which is Biden talking about how important it is for honesty in these negotiations, for senators to be able to trust what the other says. So actually, let's listen to it again. So this is Joe Biden talking about how, remember, Biden spent 36 years in the Senate. He had certainly worked with some of these senators he was there with, but he knew a lot about the U.S. Senate. And this is what he said about how important it is that they can trust one another.
You know, a lot of us go back a long way where we're used to doing one thing, give each other our word, and that's the end. Nobody questions it. They have my word, I'll stick with what they propose, and they've given me their word as well. So where I come from, that's good enough for me.
Where I come from, that's good enough for me. All right, so that's what President Biden did. That's where the so-called bipartisan deal stands right now. And on the infrastructure deal, you have to say that President Biden's word, his word is so important. If you give your word to another senator, you have to be able to trust them. Well, in this case, Biden's word lasted about 2 hours. And that is going to have long-lasting repercussions in the U.S. Senate and all over Capitol Hill. So that's what I wanted to say about the infrastructure deal. Now we're going to hear a little bit about the Bradley Foundation. After that, I want to talk about the latest developments in COVID and the differences between the parties on investigating the origins of COVID. Like, why aren't the Democrats more interested in investigating COVID? So we'll talk about that after we hear a little bit about the Bradley Foundation. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. Don't really have to tell you that. A Bradley Foundation speaker series, We the People, gives you some insights and ideas on the current challenges we face, and those come from some of the remarkable organizations that the Bradley Foundation supports. So visit bradleyfoundation.org/liberty to watch the most recent episode, which features Stephen Sukup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business. That's an Encounter Books publication, and it's really a question many of us have asked. I mean, how in the world did big business, long thought to be conservative, become so woke so fast? In this episode, Sukup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. So, go to bradleyfoundation.org/liberty. That's Bradley with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch the video. New episodes will debut weekly. So come back often, subscribe to the Bradley YouTube channel to be notified whenever a new one is posted. Okay, we're back. And I said we wanted to talk a little bit about COVID and what Congress is doing about it. And the good news, I guess, is that Republicans are taking action, House Republicans. Well, maybe I shouldn't say they're taking action because they're in the minority. There's only so much you can do when you're in the minority in the House of Representatives, especially. But they're calling for action. They're trying to push for action about an investigation into the origins of COVID. Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader, sent a letter to all of his Republican colleagues that really was a roadmap to what he calls transparency and justice in the drive to hold China accountable for the pandemic. So I'm going to read a little bit from it. Quote, evidence continues to indicate that the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, intentionally hid information and lied about what it knew to be true about the virus. Okay, this is McCarthy writing to Republican lawmakers. In addition, the head of the World Health Organization knowingly and willfully downplayed or outright denied the Chinese government's malfeasance and instead chose to cower to the CCP rather than stand up for the international community. Okay, so that's McCarthy writing to fellow Republicans. Of the Chinese, he said, they and their conspirators must be held accountable. Actually, it seems pretty reasonable. But how to do that? McCarthy did note that Republicans and Democrats differ significantly on what to do about this. McCarthy said President Biden has, quote, failed to utilize any of his broad powers to hold China accountable and has, quote, willingly given up valuable leverage to force constructive change at the WHO. Therefore, that is why, McCarthy says, Republicans should try to take the lead in this. Now, already Republicans have demanded that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, approve a new investigation into the pandemic's origins. They have introduced a bill to sanction Chinese officials in the way that the U.S. sanctioned Russian officials for attempting to interfere in U.S. elections, and they want to allow Americans to be able to seek damages against China. So, that being said, that's what they've already done. Now, McCarthy proposes what he calls eight pillars, the eight pillars of the COVID effort. Now, the first is declassification of COVID-19-related intelligence. Now, McCarthy says Republicans are going to introduce a bill to require declassification of all information that the U.S. government has on the origins of COVID-19. Now, that includes whatever the intelligence community might find as a result of President Biden's order that they redouble their efforts to find the origins of the virus. Okay, the second pillar is that McCarthy wants to ensure that the United States no longer funds so-called gain-of-function research that is, quote, conducted in or with China or any individual with known ties to the CCP. That's the kind of research that can make viruses more contagious and certainly make an accident much more devastating, which might have happened in the case of COVID-19. Now, the third McCarthy proposal is prohibition of National Institutes of Health funding to China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other, quote, malevolent foreign governments. Makes sense, too. The fourth is reform of the WHO and an FBI investigation, quote, into the U.S. medical research establishment to determine the extent to which the governments of China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea have infiltrated critical U.S. organizations. That's a significant issue as well. So the fifth move that McCarthy proposes is to continue current investigations into the origins of COVID-19. The sixth move is new sanctions against those in China and the WHO, quote, who knowingly and willfully participated in the COVID-19 cover-up. Now, move number seven is waiving Chinese sovereign immunity to allow U.S. families to file suit against the Chinese government for damages incurred, quote, as a result of the reckless conduct of the CCP. And the eighth and final move is taking away the 2022 Winter Olympics from Beijing. Now, McCarthy says he and his fellow Republicans will begin introducing legislation on these eight pillars soon. So, the idea is he going to succeed? Will he be able to convince any Democrats to go along with him? Unclear. It's unclear. But if you think of this in terms of actual politics, electoral politics, Americans do want to know how this pandemic started. And if it started as a result of a Chinese accident followed by malfeasance, then they want to know that. And so what McCarthy is doing you know, it may be difficult. He may face a lot of roadblocks from Democrats, but it's not just a smart political move. It's the right thing to do. Now, I want to talk more, though, about why it is that those Democrats and President Biden don't seem all that interested in investigating the origins of the virus. I'm going to do that right after we hear a little bit from Made In. I want to talk about Made In cookware, and we'll be back to talk more about the origins of the pandemic. If you eat out a lot, you probably ask yourself, how does your favorite restaurant make such good food so consistently? The short answer is, they have access to the right kitchen tools. With Made In's professional quality cookware and kitchenware, anybody is capable of making restaurant quality food at home. If you are serious about cooking, you should invest in the right kitchen tools. Made In's cookware and kitchenware products are used by thousands of the world's best chefs. If quality and craftsmanship are important to you, you should check out Made In. Made In is a cookware and kitchenware brand. It works with renowned chefs and artisans to produce some of the world's best pots and pans and knives and wine glasses. Now, they source the finest material and partner with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you without the markup of a store. Now, they're made to last. They offer a lifetime guarantee. And the cookware distributes heat evenly, can go easily from the stovetop to the oven. The knives are fully forged, perfectly balanced. It stays sharp. They have 28,000 five-star reviews, and their products are used by some of the world's best chefs at Michelin-starred restaurants. So Madeware is better cookware for better meals. And if you are listening to this podcast, by June the 27th, you are in luck. Made In is doing its only sale of the year. Now through June 27th, you can get industry pricing, which is the same price they give Michelin Chef star restaurants, and they buy in bulk, up to 25% off site-wide. So go to madeincookware.com/Byron and use promo code Byron for 25% off your first order. That's madeincookware.com/Byron, promo code Byron. Okay, we're back now, and as I said, I want to talk about the absence of Democratic anger about the origins of COVID. Now, when President Biden went overseas recently, he met with G7 leaders, and they all agreed to support further investigation into the origins of the COVID pandemic. They had a communique after their summit, and they called for a, quote, timely, transparent, expert-led, and science-based WHO-convened investigation. Now, it's an obvious problem, that WHO part. I mean, the U.S. and the G7 are going to rely on the World Health Organization to investigate the origins of the virus after the WHO, earlier this year, released an investigation that our own Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, called highly deficient, and others call a complete travesty. Now, when this was announced at the meetings overseas, the Wall Street Journal editorial page said, is that it? The world leaders want the same WHO that failed in its first COVID-19 origin study to do another one, this time with feeling? I mean, it was it's really extraordinary. There's no reason in the world to expect success. But what I want to get at, though, is a bigger problem. A different and bigger problem. Where is the Biden administration's passion, its intensity, its anger in pursuing the origins of COVID? So let's start somewhere else right now. In 2016, Russia tried to interfere in the U.S. presidential election. Now, there's no evidence that the Russians ever touched any ballot. There's no evidence that their hacking and social media operations ever influenced any American's vote. And yet, the U.S. political, justice, and media worlds became consumed for years with investigating Russia's actions. There were investigations in the House and the Senate. There was a special counsel investigation supervised by the Justice Department that indicted a bunch of Russians. There was sometimes hysterical media coverage, ran 24/7 for 3 years. Now, Russia did not succeed in influencing the election, but it did succeed spectacularly in setting off U.S. investigations. Okay, fast forward today. More than 600,000 Americans have died in a pandemic that began under suspicious circumstances in China, and about which the Chinese government is stonewalling all meaningful investigation. Now, 600,000 dead is a lot bigger than a few Russian Facebook ads in Wisconsin. And yet, leading figures in the Biden administration and the Democratic Party seem to have far less zeal about pursuing the origins of a disease that killed 600,000 Americans than they had in investigating what Russia did in the 2016 election. It does not make sense. Everybody involved, scientist, non-scientist, agrees that it is important to know the real origins of COVID. The Americans who want more investigation are not accusing China of deliberately loosing the virus on the world. Some people are accusing that, but they're not accusing China of deliberately loosing the virus on the world. But they do think there is persuasive evidence that the virus escaped into the human population as a result of an accidental leak during research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And they know, now we know this for a fact, that China has hidden the facts of this case from the very beginning. Now, for months, many Democrats on Capitol Hill and elsewhere agreed with the international health establishment that there was nothing to what's called the lab leak theory. Some in the media ridiculed it or even suppressed the views of those who thought the lab leak hypothesis was worth investigating. Now, they have been forced to concede that the lab leak is at least a real possibility, and they're doing the minimum to look into it. Under pressure from Republicans, President Biden directed the intelligence community to, quote, redouble their efforts in a 90-day review of an earlier and inconclusive look at COVID's origins. Now, a lot of Republicans want much more. Tom Cotton, the Republican senator, has been a leader in calling for a deeper investigation into China's actions. Kevin McCarthy says Republicans are going to start a probe of their own. We just talked about that. We've got House Republicans calling for sanctions in a way that mirrors some of the sanctions that came as a result of the Russia investigation. But here's the point. Where is the big, screaming, wall-to-wall effort to find out what happened? It is nowhere to be found. Which leads to the question, why are the people who could not get enough investigations of the 2016 Russia affair so relatively incurious about investigating the origins of a disease that has had vastly more consequential effects? I think you know the answer to this. The answer, unfortunately, is Donald Trump. In 2017, there was agreement between Democrats and Republicans that Russia's interference effort needed to be investigated. There was bipartisan action on Capitol Hill. But then the investigate Russia effort turned into a get Trump effort. Investigations mushroomed, but partisanship divided everything. I mean, if the Russian interference investigations had been solely conducted as investigations into Russian interference, they would have been concluded with relative unanimity between the parties and a low to moderate amount of press attention. But TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, set in, and the political and media worlds went Russia, Russia, Russia. Only to fail, by the way, in their goal of finding Trump-Russia collusion. But there was this frenzy of investigation, and now, there is a topic of enormous global importance. Now remember, in addition to the 600,000 Americans, COVID has killed more than 3.2 million other people worldwide. And now the Biden administration is kinda, sorta, pursuing an investigation. Does anyone doubt that it should be doing much, much more? Now, I'm going to be keeping an eye on this in the future, see what Republicans are able to do, whether Democrats keep resisting an investigation of any sort, a big real investigation, and kind of looking more into this lack of zeal, of passion, of anger among Democrats about finding the origins of COVID. But that's what I have to say for today. I want to thank you for joining us. Really, really thank you for joining us. And I hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.